A sickle-shaped sliver of silver light appears above the word Regency. The logo disappears, replaced by captions in yellow capitals.
This is the story of four orphans brought together by fate. They didn't know it yet, but there was something greater in store for them. Something epic.
Epic movie. At night, a girl in very high heels totters along an empty gallery in the Louvre Museum. Her long auburn hair framing her face, the girl in a navy cardigan over a white blouse and navy skirt glances at the paintings she's passing, among them seven dogs playing cards.
Meet our first orphan, Lucy. She had been raised by a kindly old museum curator, but alas, he was murdered.
She trips over a naked man with thug life scrawled on his stomach in red.
Oh, please don't die. Please don't die, you're all I have.
You're on my hand.
Oh, sorry.
The man is lying on his back in a red circle.
It's a code.
His member obscured by a bright light.
But what is it?
A black albino monk whips himself.
Oh my God! Oh God, the code, please! Give me another clue! I didn't read the book on tape.
Lucy holds up the audio tape of the Da Vinci Code. The monk puts a hood over his tightly curled blonde hair.
Habeas corpus.
In translation, I'm gonna drop you like K-Fed.
God, the code, please! Get on
the phone. The curator leaps up and starts breakdancing.
Your body, is in the shape of a letter. It's the letter D!
He makes another shape with his body.
Please, that's an A!
The monk twirls his whip. The curator, clearly a double, does a headstand, his legs splayed. The skinnier, younger double with shaggy blonde hair spins and makes another shape.
I'm thin! Right!
Lucy totters off and shines an ultraviolet torch on the Mona Lisa. Words appear on the painting. On the wall, there's a portrait of Tom Hanks with strangely long hair.
Lame is a seven-letter word.
The monk advances, twirling silver ninja weapons.
The code is seven! Right!
Lucy runs to a sweet vending machine and presses the number seven. The monk's getting closer. The machine dispenses a chocolate bar called Willy. Lucy undoes the wrapper and finds a golden ticket that reads, "Golden ticket, you won a chance to go on an epic adventure." Her right heel breaks. So she bends down just as the monk leaps at her and crashes into the vending machine. Lucy doesn't notice. She hurries off past a painting of an old whitewashed Mexican monastery. The painting comes to life.
Then there was our next orphan, Edward. He was living in a Mexican monastery with all the other children.
Edward is about 30. A fat friar with curly black hair and a moustache puts a plate of food in front of the glum-looking Edward.
I'm not eating that.
Be grateful, Eduardo. Today I've made something especially scrumptious.
It's a dead cat served with rice. Edward pushes it away. The friar leaps back and tears off his habit to reveal a flabby bare chest and wrestling tights.
Nacho!
Edward looks at the friar in bored disgust. He sighs deeply. A toothless old monk gapes, and a Mexican monk purses his lips. The flabby friar flaps his arms like a duck coming into land, then turns and squeezes his buttocks for the benefit of a prim-looking nun. He high kicks, and as Edward sighs again, he spins round and produces a bag of Doritos.
Cheese-flavored Doritos are delicious!
He opens the bag, takes handfuls of nachos, hands them out to Edward, then sneezes. The resulting goo splats all over Edward. The friar wipes his nose. Edward wipes his face.
I'm sick of this!
I'm going to be a lucha libre wrestler.
The man-breasted friar looks at him scornfully.
You think you are better than the other orphans?
Yes.
Chanchito, come, teach him a lesson in humility.
A fat boy of about 10 in jeans, t-shirt and a red Superman cape glares at Edward, pulls on a blue and red hood and comes towards him.
You gotta be kidding me.
The boy gives Edward a head chop, leaps on his back and smashes his face onto a table.
Oh, you like the flavour of the beans going up your nose? Just take his arm and spin it around. Can't you throw him off the table?
The boy slides Edward down the table towards a window past the fire, unwrapping a willy bar. As he slides past, Edward grabs the golden ticket.
Sweet! And stay out, cabrón!
The fat friar clicks his neck. The scene changes to an aeroplane in flight. A businessman dozes in a window seat next to a young black woman.
Our next orphan, Susan, was on her way to Namibia to meet her new adoptive parents.
Susan's Hollywood Life magazine cover reads, Brangelina, ready for more kids.
Can I get you a cocktail?
Just some water.
Okay. What can I get you to drink?
Not looking at what she's doing, the flight attendant pours a snake into Susan's glass. Susan, reading her magazine, doesn't notice. She reaches down and scratches her very hairy leg. The snake winds itself round her leg. Another bigger snake slithers up and pokes its head over Susan's shoulder. There are hundreds of snakes crawling all over the passenger cabin. One tiny one bites a man's nose. Another bites a man's crotch. Susan punches one with her fist. A busty blonde in a t-shirt has a snake hanging off each nipple. Susan's covered in snakes.
I chose the wrong day to fly.
A Samuel L. Jackson lookalike appears.
Enough is enough. I've had it with these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane.
So have I.
Enough is enough. I've had it with these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane.
Right.
I've had it with these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane.
Why do you keep saying that?
Because internet bloggers love it when I say, I've had it with these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane.
All right. You get it already, okay?
No, I don't think you do. I've had it with these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane.
Why are you yelling?
Shit, bitch. I'm always yelling. I'm Samuel motherfucking Jackson.
Bitch?
He grabs Susan and throws her out of the plane's open door. A Paris Hilton lookalike in a pink dress comes out of a designer store with a chihuahua on her arm.
I'm so hot.
Susan lands on her, and the chihuahua scuttles off. In Paris's handbag, Susan spots a willy bar with a golden ticket. She takes the ticket, which reads, "You've won the chance to go on an epic adventure." Outside the Mutant Academy of Arts and Sciences, a billboard shows Wolverine about to throw a football. A football that's skewered like a melon by the three retractable knives that shoot out of his knuckles when he needs them.
And finally, our last orphan, Peter. He made his home among the undesirables of society, the mutants. But even there, he was an outcast.
Blonde-haired Peter sees two girls chatting by their lockers, one in jeans and a polka dot top. The other is blue, her sexy body covered in scales and wearing killer stilettos. She spots Peter and starts to gyrate. Peter draws his breath as she tosses her long blonde hair, runs her hands over her hips, her tiny waist, her pneumatic scaly breasts, and through her hair. And in case he hadn't noticed, she runs her blue hands over her big blue breasts and through her long blonde hair once more. Peter takes a deep breath and walks towards the girl.
Hi, Mystique. Hi, Elsie. Right, so anyway, I was wondering, would you like to come to the homecoming dance with me?
Mystique glances at Elsie and rolls her eyes.
As if.
Four X-Men swagger down the corridor. Wolverine, glowering with a tall quiff and sideburns. Rogue, a woman with long black and white hair in a black catsuit. Cyclops, a young guy in dark glasses. And Storm, a tall black woman with silver white hair. Elsie from Laguna Beach gives a fake smile.
Nice hair, Rogue.
Rogue takes off a black glove and touches Elsie, who drops dead.
You talking to my girl? I'm nuts.
Wolverine pushes Peter against the lockers. Mystique joins them and they stroll away together. Peter's lips quiver.
Asshole.
Wolverine, in his blue team jacket with its skewered football logo, slowly turns back to Peter. Storm, Cyclops, Mystique, and Rogue turn to watch. 3 10-inch blades shoot out of Wolverine's knuckles. With the middle blade, he gives Peter the finger.
Fight.
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 Fight. Fight.
What are you gonna do about it?
Peter unzips his hoodie to reveal a bondage harness.
He's unleashing his powers.
He rips off the harness.
He's gonna spread angel wings.
Peter puffs up his chest and clucks. He sprouts tiny wings.
More like chicken wings.
A man in a black cape with a huge magnet on his purple helmet comes up.
Break it up. Break it up. You all know Peter is too much of a pussy to stand up for himself.
Magneto raises his gloved hand and a locker door opens in Peter's face. Peter falls flat on his back. Magneto chuckles stiffly as he turns away. A Willy bar drops from the open locker onto Peter's chest. Inside the wrapper is a golden ticket. It reads, "You've won the chance to go on an epic adventure." The scene changes to a massive grey factory belching smoke into a clear blue sky.
And for these 4 orphans, life would never be the same.
Wearing children's clothes, the 4 gather in front of the factory, glancing at each other suspiciously. Huge doors emblazoned with the letter W slide open. A tall man with a brown pageboy haircut wearing a purple top hat and coat limps into view.
Gross.
Leaning heavily on a stick, he removes his top hat and turns towards the front, his complexion pale. His lilac shoes totter as if he's on a tightrope. The children watch in some trepidation.
Oh!
He does a forward roll, jumps to his feet, and spreads his arms.
Welcome. You must be Susan. And you are Peter. And you're Edward. And you...
Lucy looks round expectantly as Willy Wonka shrugs happily.
You're Lucy. I've been expecting you, so come on.
The 4 children scamper up the steps and follow Willy Wonka inside. Inside the factory, all is bright and colourful. An emerald green lawn covered in trees and toadstools made of sweets spreads out in front of them. Tiny people with black top knots, pink overalls, and candy-striped socks tend the grass and the plants. A small bridge crosses a stream in front of a waterfall of brown liquid. Lucy.
I love your legendary candy.
A chocolate river!
Edward scampers across the lawn. He kneels by the stream and laps up liquid brown stuff. He gives a big smile.
It's delicious!
As he laps up some more, Susan licks her lips. He sinks his face into the trough and emerges with something solid between his teeth.
Yay!
Willy Wonka puts a hand to his mouth with a look of concern as Edward bites into the chocolate goodie.
Chocolate!
That's actually the sewer line.
Yeah.
Edward spits it out and Lucy laughs.
Children, do you want to know? It makes all my candy taste so special.
Uh-huh.
It's a special secret ingredient. It's real human parts. There's going to be a little itty bitty piece of each and every one of you inside of the yummy, yum candy. Literally.
I'm getting out of here.
Willy pulls the lever. The round red doors close.
No, no, I can't do that.
Yes, you can.
Yes, you can.
Susan glares at Lucy.
You're mine now.
The tiny Oompa Loompas drag the 4 of them away, and Willy Wonka does a body popping dance.
Listen up, y'all, cause this is it. The beat that I'm banging is delicious.
Edward is pushed towards a low wooden bench called the Nutcruncher. Willie makes him lie down, and an Oompa Loompa hits him between the legs with a sledgehammer. Edward's nuts drop down a channel into a tray of freshly made nut chocolate. Willie holds up a Willy bar and does a cartwheel. Lucy lies under a blue sheet. Willie thrusts his hand under it. He pulls out her heart and throws it to an Oompa Loompa who catches it in a heart-shaped chocolate box. Willie dances like Michael Jackson. Then, armed with a huge pair of pliers, he comes up to Peter, who's strapped in a dentist's chair. He throws Peter's tooth into a pack of popcorn labeled The Box with a Surprise. Willie drop-kicks Susan's head off. It lands in a vat of yellow liquid. Willie fishes it out, and an Oompa Loompa boxes it up as Willie's genuine jumbo sour yellowhead. Willie brands the four children. Peter looks aghast at the W on his buttocks. Ow. They're in a dingy cottage. Lucy is polishing a door handle.
What are you doing?
Willie told me he wanted his nose polished.
Dumbass. We've got to get out of here. I just said that.
You just said that.
Where are we going to go? I don't have a home to go back to.
Well, I thought this golden ticket was my lucky break.
The curator was all I had.
I never had anyone. I raised myself.
And that's why you have such a tough exterior?
Susan shrugs, maybe.
And you're kind of bitchy. Why us?
Because we're four kids nobody would ever miss. We'll be stuck here till we die.
Shut up, Edward. You're scaring her.
Tell me what to do. You're not my father. Two for flinching.
Ow!
Ah! Leave Peter alone. He was just sticking up for her.
Susan bumps Edward.
I can take care of myself.
Lucy floors Susan with a vase.
Like it or not, we're all in this. It's obvious we don't like each other, but if we're going to survive, we have to stick together.
Lucy poleaxes Peter with a floor lamp.
Oh.
Was the fight over?
She shrugs dumbly.
I didn't know.
Hey!
Someone
wants to chew my gumball.
It's Willie. Hide!
Lucy spins round on the spot. Peter hides behind a rocking chair under a blanket. Susan crawls under a bed. Edward crashes into a pile of boxes. Lucy rushes out of the door.
Where are you?
She opens the door to another room. It's empty apart from an ornately carved wooden wardrobe at the far end. With her huge eyes framed by her long red hair, Lucy moves slowly towards it.
I'm gonna find you.
She reaches for the silver handle in the carved door and pulls. She's buried by an avalanche of junk. A leggy blonde steps out of the wardrobe, stark naked, and jogs out of the room. Lucy springs to her feet and steps through the junk towards the open wardrobe. It's full of fur coats. The wardrobe door slams behind her. Running her hands over the thick fur, she explores further. A caption on a clear polythene dry cleaning cover says, "May cause suffocation. Keep away from dipshits." Lucy blunders into it. She fights her way free. Snowy branches whack her in the face. She falls face down in the snow in the middle of a forest. Looking around in wonder, she gets to her feet, not noticing that she's now wearing completely different clothes. A 1920s blue flowery dress with a white scoop collar. A little way off, she sees an old-fashioned gas lamppost. She steps towards it, looking up at the lamp, which is still lit, even though it's broad daylight. She reaches out and touches the metal post. Looking round carefully to make sure no one is watching, Lucy puts out her tongue and with a naughty smile licks the thick shaft of the lamppost. Her tongue sticks fast. She tries to pull her tongue off the post, but it just stretches. A knife appears in her hand, and she starts to saw at her long pink tongue, but it just gets longer and floppier. She bends her knees and picks up an axe. A stranger slices her tongue in two, knocking her over.
My tongue!
It's still stuck to the lamppost.
My bat!
A fawn with horns, lop ears, a naked human torso, shaggy goat legs, and a red scarf round its neck sniffs at Lucy.
Where am I?
The world of Narnia.
The fawn, smiling, gestures towards the falling snow and trees. A sign reads, "Welcome to Narnia, the non-sunshine state." Narnia is spelt with a G.
Oh, a silent G as a gnome. Or gnarly.
For legal purposes. And Mr. Thomas.
Oh, my name is Lucy. What are you?
I'm a fawn. Half man, half goat.
Oh, so you mean...
Yeah, that's screwed a goat. These are my folks.
He shows her a photo of a goat licking a man's cheek.
You have her goatee.
Thanks. And you?
Oh, no. No, both of my parents are human.
Ugh. Gross.
No. Yeah.
Oh, so, you are a daughter of Eve, huh?
He looks around, suddenly cautious and frightened.
How rude of me. Let me show you around.
He butts and kicks her on her way. They come to a snow-covered rock face with a horseshoe-shaped door.
Welcome to my fawn crib.
It's good to be home. I got the boys that sit in the front.
Opening credits play for a TV show called Cribs, but spelled with a K. The graphics say, Narnia Hills, California. Three bedroom, three bath, motor court, eating trough. Mr. Tumnus the fawn urges the camera inside.
Man, let's go.
The camera zooms around the stone walls and heavy wooden furniture. Mr. Tumnus beckons Lucy and the camera towards a huge fridge.
Let's see what's in the fridge.
Lots of crystal champagne.
Ooh, always gotta have crystal. For when Didi's in the house. Yo, Didi!
A hip-hop fawn in a sweatshirt with his name on it and wearing shades puts down some moves. Tumnus throws a bottle at him and he falls.
Say what's up to the honeys.
Four fawn babes in bikinis are lounging by a hot tub, pouting, licking their fingers and pouring champagne between their breasts. They twirl their horns and goatee beards. A fawn version of Scarface is showing on a huge flat-screen TV.
Check out my plasma. Say hello to my little friend. You wanna play us? Okay, let's play. Scarface is the shit. I'm Tony Fontana. You mess with me, you're messing with the best.
Tumnus talks to the TV camera.
You ain't a true player unless you got flat screens everywhere. In the toilet, when I'm taking a leak. Say hello to my little friend! You wanna play us? Okay, let's play! This is my favorite part.
The picture on the flat screen in the bottom of the toilet turns yellow as Mr. Tumnus takes a leak.
Under the couch for when I'm looking for change.
There's a flat screen under the sofa cushions.
Booyah! Ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch! On the top of her head for when she, you know, shine my hooves.
A blonde babe shining his hairy hoops has a flat screen on her head. Tumnus winks.
So, now you all see my grave. So, get the hell out!
Well, I really should be getting back.
No. But you, must stay.
Oh, Mr. Tumnus, I'll never forget you. Please take this to remember me by.
A hanky. She hands it to Tumnus.
And I do.
It's covered in green snot. Lucy shrugs.
I'm sorry.
Lucy.
Tumnus suddenly looks scared.
You are in danger.
Will
you? You must go now.
What's wrong?
Take this. It will explain everything.
He slams the door, leaving Lucy outside with a camera he thrust into her hands. She peers into the viewfinder and presses the shutter. A red laser beam scans her eye.
Confirm identification.
My eyes!
She blinks and peers about.
Oh. Well, that's better than LASIK.
She looks through the viewfinder, and Tumnus appears.
The evil white bitch who rules Narnia has ordered anyone who finds a human to turn them in. I brought you back to my lair to betray you, but I couldn't do it. You are a true friend. She's plunged her once peaceful land into eternal winter. Under her two terms, we now have wiretaps, no gay marriage. Not to mention her bumbling of the hurricane relief effort.
And the white bitch doesn't care about black people.
There is a small resistance movement. They learn she's developing a weapon of mass destruction that can kill all of us.
Wait, a real WMD or like a fake Saddam one?
No, a real one.
Well, that sounds bad.
Go now before she finds you.
But...
There's no time to argue. Go now!
This message will self-destruct in 1 second.
Wait, what?
Lucy is catapulted through the air. In the cottage, Edward goes in the wardrobe room. The junk has vanished.
Come out, wherever you are.
He goes straight to the wardrobe.
Lucy?
Who wants to play with Willy?
Lucy, move over. I need some place to hide.
He pushes through the fur coats.
Lucy! Who lives here, Liberace?
The pine branches slap him. He tumbles into the snow wearing knee-length socks, long shorts, a white shirt and a zipper jumper. He scrambles to his feet, brushes himself off and looks around.
This is a really big wardrobe.
A tall motorized sleigh roars towards him through the trees. A dwarf in red robes is at the wheel. He slams on the brakes as he comes past Edward. He slews into a handbrake turn. The sleigh, license plate Narnia Drift, slides to a halt and in slow motion a voluptuous, full-lipped woman in her 40s with long, ringleted, white blonde hair turns to gaze back at Edward. He watches her in awe. The woman, wearing a crown of ice and a white gown and carrying a long crystal wand, lowers herself inelegantly from the sleigh, her feet not quite touching the ground.
What a milf.
The woman and the pint-sized bearded dwarf approach. The dwarf thumps Edward in the crotch.
Kneel before the queen!
Edward doubles up in the snow.
You're a son of Adam.
No, I'm Edward. I'm sorry, Your Majesty. I was following Lucy into the wardrobe.
Lucy? How many are in your family?
No. Lucy, Peter, and Susan are not my family. We're all just a bunch of orphans.
The prophecy!
The dwarf is dispatched.
Please, let me help you up.
The queen bends low and Edward gazes at her substantial cleavage.
Oh, you must be parched.
Yes.
The queen removes the stopper from her crystal wand and pours a drop of liquid onto the snow. It morphs into a liquor bottle. Ugh.
40?
Edward undoes its screw top and starts to swig from it.
Drink.
Edward blithely obeys.
Fresh dog piss. Go ahead.
Yeah! I love this place.
And this can all be your new home. With my help, you can be king.
What? King?
The dwarf lands headfirst in the snow.
He can't be king!
He's zapped.
And you would be my queen?
She simpers.
I've never had a girlfriend before.
Oh.
She takes his hand and kisses his finger. Edward gazes at his finger, 6 inches long, thick, and throbbing.
How about that?
He puts his swollen digit behind his back.
Oh, but first, I must meet the others.
Why? You're not going to make Peter king too, are you?
Oh, no. But every king needs subjects to boss around.
The dwarf lands.
But your majesty!
Behold, my white castle.
It's a burger joint.
White castle? I feel like I've been there before.
Bring me the others, and I'll crown you king.
Yes.
Edward's eyes glitter. The dwarf lands back in the driver's seat, and the queen in her white rabbit skin cloak rides off in her sleigh. Edward hurries through the snow.
I'm gonna be king.
He spots Lucy and scowls.
Lucy?
Edward! You went through the wardrobe too.
Lucy!
Edward!
Peter and Susan appear.
This is quite a hiding place.
We have to go now. We're in grave danger.
Oh, no, we should stay right here. What's the hurry, Lucy? I mean, they just got here.
Hey, look! I'm spelling my name!
Peter pees his name in the snow.
Mm-mm. Please, we have to go. Mr. Tumnus told me.
Mr. Tumnus? Who the bloody hell's that? I love Sudoku.
Peter marks out a Sudoku square in P.
He's a goat man, and he warned of great peril.
Oh, Lucy.
Fine. If you think I'm lying, just go ask him yourself.
Lucy stomps away past Peter, who's still peeing.
It's going to be harder than I thought.
Edward and Susan follow.
Hey, look! Nicole Ritchie!
Peter's peed a stick figure in the snow. Lucy pushes open the door of Mr. Tumnus's house and looks around in wide-eyed horror. The place has been trashed. The other three follow her in.
Mr. Tumnus?
A beaver appears.
Shit, I know what happened.
What the hell is that thing?
It's a talking beaver!
Holy shit!
Get it out of here!
No!
Lucy kicks the beaver out of the window and shivers in amazement. The beaver plods back in.
Something in my groin tells me you're not used to a talking beaver. My name is Harry Beaver. Mr. Tumnus is my life partner. Sweet man.
They see a photo.
Mr. Tumnus was taken by the white bitch.
She's hot. I mean, never heard of her.
The evil ruler. She arrested Mr. Tumnus for hiding a human.
Is there anything we can do to help?
Yes. You must go to Aslo. He's waiting for you at the ancient table.
Who's Aslo?
Who's Aslo?
He's the true king of Narnia.
Not for long.
Hello, the prophecy? The four of you will join Aslo and lead the resistance to destroy the white bitch.
Us?
Yes, you're all heroes. Especially you, Peter.
My son, I have sent you to Earth for a reason. You will be the savior of all mankind.
In his head, Peter turns into big, beefy Superman.
You are truly invincible.
Superman lands on the roof of a tall building and strides over to a villain who holds a gun inches from his face. A bullet fires from the gun in slow motion.
Really hurts! Why would you do that? That was so unnecessary!
Superman staggers back and falls from the roof. Peter takes his hand from his eye.
But I can't be. But I can't be. Why him?
Well, maybe not Superman, but a hero all the same. It's your destiny.
Edward's none too happy.
Do you think you were all brought together by chance? Look at the clues. They're all around you.
On the far wall, Lucy spots a copy of Da Vinci's The Last Supper. She leads Susan and Peter towards it. Harry Beaver eyes her up as she goes past.
Oh, that's nice.
Edward, looking sneaky, slips away unnoticed. Lucy looks at the painting. She and Edward and Peter and Susan stand just behind Jesus.
We're all in the painting.
Her eyes zoom in on the painting, then she turns to the others.
But what does it mean?
Wide-eyed and open-mouthed, she shines her ultraviolet light. The words, "Look on the table, Firecrotch," appear across the top of the canvas.
Right.
She picks up a cylindrical box covered in ivory tiles. On each tile, a letter.
It's a cryptex. The curator taught me how to decipher these.
She starts aligning the letters like a Rubik's Cube. Harry Beaver jumps back with excitement. She's formed the words, "Get Crunk." Susan gives her a look and snatches the cryptex. She pulls off one end, and the ring pull under that.
Be careful.
Ever so carefully, Lucy pulls a scroll out of the inside of the cryptex. Susan snatches it from her. Lucy opens up the scroll.
Well, what is it?
It's our birth certificates. We all have the same last name and the same parents.
They're all called Pervertsky. A painted disciple speaks.
I don't get it.
You're all related. Brothers and sisters, or a family, for Christ's sakes.
Jesus rolls his eyes.
Sorry. Is it really true?
None of us ever had a real family before.
None of us ever had a real family before.
It's true. You're quadruplets.
But our parents...
killed by the white bitch. Then she separated the four of you so the prophecy would never be fulfilled.
Susan looks around the room.
Where's Edward?
Edward strolls into the Ice Palace throne room.
Hey, honey, I'm home. Hey, buddy. You miss me?
The dwarf whacks him with a baseball bat.
Why?
Because I ain't your buddy.
Where are the others?
Edward gets up.
I thought we had something special. I even got a tattoo with your name on it.
He shows a tattoo covering his whole back. It says Southside.
That looks more like a 50 cents tattoo, you idiot.
Shit! They did the wrong one.
He puts his jumper back on. The Queen rises.
I won't ask again. Where is the rest of your family?
I told you they're not my family.
She shows him a photo of the four of them as toddlers.
Tell me where they are.
Never.
She rips open her bodice. Edward grins like a dope.
Yeah, they went to Mr. Tumnus's house.
An Ashton Kutcher lookalike with a camera team balls
yes!
up.
Yes! You just got pumped! Yes! Yeah, he did it! He did it! Come here! Save the camera! Save the camera! Come on, say it right there! Say it!
I just got punked.
Yeah, schwam! Yeah! We just punked Edward! Schwam! Schwam! Yeah! That was awesome! Yeah! Yes! This thing up here is all me, baby. The trucker hat. That's awesome. I did it. You love it. You'll take it. Punked him. It was really funny. Oh my gosh, so funny.
Hey, no, hey, you are okay. So like annoying.
Edward knocks him down.
No, really, fine though. He did that thing. He got the punk. Swell, 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 swell.
Yes, trucker hat.
Kutcher sulks.
Swell. Swell.
Silas!
Silas, the curly blonde black albino monk, comes in, lashing himself through his coarse brown woolen robe.
The kids are with Mr. Tumnus. I want you to find them and kill them.
In translation, that's Foshizi White Beezy. Silas offers the white bitch a paddle and bends over. With an expression of distaste, she thrashes him.
His
yelp is subtitled. Beat me like Bobby beats Whitney. Allegedly.
No! No!
Yeah,
ow!
You're going to prison.
Dude!
Yeah!
In the forest.
What?
Edward!
Edward!
Okay.
Edward!
Edward!
Edward! Edward!
Mr. Tumnus.
Mr. Tumnus hobbles towards them, blood trickling from his mouth. He wipes it away, kneels in front of Harry Beaver, and cups his furry face in his hands. The others watch with soppy smiles.
I miss the smell of you, Harry Beaver.
The girls cringe as Beaver and Fawn start snogging. Mr. Tumnus stands up.
The white bitch did this to you? Shit.
And now she has Edward.
We must rescue him.
Get a hold of yourself, Lucy.
Holy.
It's too dangerous. If she catches you, you are as good as dead.
That's me.
Harry Beaver reads his text message.
The Resistance has found out that the white bitch has completed her weapon of mass destruction and is going to launch it in 24 hours.
Let's get the hell out of here!
Susan slaps Peter.
Aslo is the only one that can help now.
Then take us to him.
Lucy thumps Peter.
Ah! What'd you do that for?
Lucy thinks.
I forgot.
Before you meet Aslo, you must train. Only then you can defeat the white bitch and save your brother.
I'll meet you at Aslo's. May the force be with you.
Silas races through the trees towards them.
Someone's coming. The bitch is onto you. You must go now. There you will train.
Pointing to a castle.
Go!
They run, then turn back.
Mr. Tumnus?
I will stay behind and fight him off. No matter what, you must not come back from me.
Yep.
Peter skips off.
Run!
Susan and Lucy run after Peter. Mr. Tumnus turns to face Silas, who appears through the trees, karate chopping the air.
If you want them, you have to go through me first.
Silas pulls a gun.
Oh, please, help!
He needs our help.
Oh, help!
No, Susan. Lucy, he wants us to go on. He sacrificed himself for us.
Peter, if you can hear me, come back now. Oh, I definitely underestimated the situation. I'm in a lot of pain.
What should we do?
We can't go back. We have to do what's best for Edward and for Narnia.
Screw Narnia.
He's testing us.
This is not a test. I can see my brain.
Chicken wings sprout between Peter's shoulder blades and he stumbles off. Lucy and Susan look at each other, shake their heads, and go after him. I'm Rick James, bitch, says the monkey. Lucy, Peter, and Susan walk through grassy meadows and leafy woods towards a castle on a hill. They gaze up at the turreted building. The girls look at each other excitedly and nod confidently. In the grounds of the castle, students place their broomsticks in a rack. Peter sees a pupil with a head of scruffy, graying hair, dressed in school uniform, standing with his back to them. He taps him on the shoulder.
Welcome! My name is Harry Potter.
He's about 40.
Aren't you a little old to still be a student here?
Nonsense. I am but 14, as are my two best friends, Ron and Hermione.
Ron's bald with a moustache.
Greetings.
Hermione is pregnant.
Hope you chicks are on the pill. Harry likes to get wasted, then show off his sorcerer's stones.
They are definitely too old to still be doing this shit.
We shall train you, so you can defeat the white bitch and restore peace to Narnia. We'll show you everything we know, like how to use the invisibility cloak.
Lucy and Peter exchange glances as Harry, in round glasses, dons a red velvet cloak and remains perfectly visible.
Oh no! I'm completely invisible! Where am I? What was that? Where am
Harry,
I? I could be anywhere.
Harry!
Where am I?
He creeps towards Susan and grabs her breasts.
Step off, Potter!
Right. Wrong cloak. Let the training montage begin! Cue inspirational music. Blame the cloak.
The training.
Let's get your hips nice and square.
Okay.
All right, eh? I'll set it up for you.
Okay.
Ready?
Susan fires an arrow, hitting Ron. Through the neck, Hermione waves a wand. Lucy tries.
Ipso facto patrono.
Hermione's mouth gets covered in cold sores.
Confront your fear! Do not cower in the face of danger! Let nothing stand in the way of defeating your enemy! Come on, Peter! Stop being such a little Nancy boy! Schoolgirl! Pussy! Chicken!
Peter lunges at Harry. In the process, he accidentally stabs a giant. A passing witch. And a wizard.
Congratulations, Peter. Your training is now complete. You are now ready to meet Azula.
Yes!
This crystal will finally put an end to the resistance. I will start a series of earthquakes that will collapse all of Narnia and grow a new continent where only I and my followers will live.
The white bitch revels in her idea.
Yo, bitch, that's pretty much the plot of Superman Returns.
Pretty much, yeah.
The curved-toed, bearded, black-capped dwarf brings the queen her Apple laptop. She brings up her MySpace page. Her interests are killing, maiming, and listening to Fallout Boy. Saddam, Oprah, and Paris Hilton pop up.
It's an IM from Silas. The kids have escaped. The kids have escaped.
Her eyes widen.
The kids have escaped!
The dwarf.
Duh.
I've got to catch and kill those children before they ruin everything. See what else Edward knows.
Let me out! Oh, I gotta get out of here. I'm never gonna see my family again.
I'll get you out of here, mate.
The long-haired pirate swigs at his bottle and stands on one leg.
Captain Morgan, I love your rum.
No, Captain Jack Swallows.
He waves the bottle and breaks it.
At your service.
Jack Swallows? It's kind of gay, dude.
Jack thinks about this.
I believe in you, Quest, son. And I'll reunite you with your family. I've got a ship waiting for us.
Edward points at the door of the prison cell.
How are we gonna get out of here?
Jack draws a knife. And stabs Edward.
Man down! Man down!
I could have faked it!
He slumps to the floor. Jack shouts through the bars.
Quick! He needs your help!
Arms akimbo, he minces over to Edward in the style of Johnny Depp. Two thuggish guards enter. Jack throws Edward at them. He drops Edward, an obvious dummy. The real Edward springs up.
Come, come, we have it all day.
Peter, in doublet and hose, a sword at his side, and Lucy and Susan, in short medieval mini-dresses and carrying their bow and wand, strut confidently through the leafy woodland. They pass a signpost to Aslo's camp, Gotham City, and Laguna Beach. Jack and Edward arrive at a dockside where a pirate ship is being loaded. Jack drains a bottle of rum and casually smashes it on a crewman's head. Jack goes cross-eyed.
Wow, a real pirate ship. Peter, Lucy, and Susan won't believe this. Hey, this is awesome. What's it like being a pirate?
Yo-ho, Ed. Let me break it down for you.
Jack and crew break into an MTV-style video called Captain Jack Swallows, Lazy Pirate Day.
Yo, 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 check this out. Lazy Pirate Day, set sail in the afternoon.
We got these dope-ass grills
from melted to blooms.
name my ship Fantasia after the American Idol winner.
You should have named it Stutter.
Yeah, yeah, boy, that's one big brother.
Seacrest out.
We are the pirates
what?
Of the Caribbean.
Word.
Yes, the pirates
what?
Of the Caribbean.
Huh.
You love us pirates
what?
Of the Caribbean. Bruckheimer's pirates
what?
Of the Caribbean.
A breakdancer throws his weight around, and a pirate girl group in skimpy costumes strut their stuff.
Check me out, boys, I got real big. I know all you pirates wanna. You about putting your heart in my. I know you're getting when you're in my. Oh, yeah. Take out your swords and lick and suck.
The girls join the pirates for more product placement. Captain Crunch, Chicken of the Sea, Crunchy Fish Sticks.
We are the pirates
what?
Of the Caribbean.
Word.
Yes, the pirates
what?
Of the Caribbean.
Word.
You love us pirates
what?
Of the Caribbean.
Bruckheimer's pirates
what?
Of the Caribbean.
Word to the Kraken.
The Kraken question is a butt crack.
Time is waning, little boy. So where's your family, eh?
They're on the way to the ancient tables to meet Aslo, where he's assembled the resistance.
Interesting.
The White Bitch.
God, you're easy.
The dwarf tasers Edward. The witch tosses Jack a bag of coins.
Thanks, love. Oh, my.
Wait, so this whole thing was a setup just to get information out of me?
Sorry, mate. This isn't even a working pirate ship, savvy?
On the quayside, a sign reads, Pirate Ship Tour.
Oh, shit.
It's nice doing business with you, love.
The White Bitch stabs Jack.
Bugger. I'll get you for this. You. Bitch.
He revives for one final wobbly hand gesture.
I always hated you, Captain Jack Swallows.
The White Bitch in her fox fur stole saunters off. Edward looks a bit alarmed.
You think I like wearing this funny-looking hat? I'll roast your nuts!
So, your family is going to Aslo. Summon the troops. If it's a war they want, it's a war they will get.
She produces the capsule marked Weapon of Mass Destruction.
Let's start things off with a bang, shall we?
You'll kill millions.
Billions.
The dwarf adds on his fingers.
Let me hear you say it.
My family will stop you.
Wrong!
She gives him an eyeful of her massive cleavage. He lunges for the capsule. The slim boat-shaped capsule plops into the sea. The White Bitch caresses her fox fur in ecstasy.
Damn that Superman plot!
Peter and the girls arrive at Aslo's camp. They walk down a grassy avenue between two rows of colorful tents. Banners flutter in the breeze. Grooms lead a pair of white unicorns through the camp. The assembled Narnians, all in medieval costumes and busy about their tasks, doff their caps or curtsy as the three children pass by. A James Bond lookalike, attended by two beautiful curvy women, briefly aims his Walther PPK. Then bows to the three visitors. Ricky Bobby's pit crew touch their caps. Chewbacca bows.
My name is Borat. This is my country of Narnia. Is nice.
The three visitors arrive at Aslo's tent, and smiling excitedly, they step inside. Outside, the Borat lookalike wearing a long green thong is kissing a maiden.
She is my sister. She is number four fond prostitute in all of Narnia. Nice.
Inside Aslo's tent, a 60-year-old man with a mane of blonde hair is in bed with a blonde babe.
Aslo?
Where you going, dollface? I just took my Cialis.
Screw you, Aslo.
Aslo looks accusingly at Peter.
Thanks a lot.
He has a massive erection.
You're Aslo the lion?
Lion man. Half lion, half man.
So you mean you're...
My father, Siegfried, boinked a lion. But, you know, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Let me guess. The Prophecy family.
Uh-huh, we've come a long way.
Whatever. You're missing one.
Yes, our brother Edward.
Yes, our brother Edward.
He betrayed you, went to the White Bitch.
Well, it wasn't his fault.
Yada, yada, yada.
But the prophecy says...
But the prophecy. Fine, I'll help you get Edward back.
He twirls a lock of hair.
But there's something you've got to do for me.
In the White Bitch's castle, Edward turns to a Mel Gibson lookalike swinging from a bottle.
What are you in here for, Mel?
Bearded Mel swings the bottle woozily.
You know. Glug, glug. Vroom, vroom. Woo! Listen, sugar tits. FYI, I like to sleep in the bath.
Edward kicks him in the nuts. Oh! Oh! Peter and the girls are in bed with Aslo.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was spectacular.
My butt's sore.
Uh-oh.
Dutch oven!
Susan and Peter grimace as Aslo pulls the sheet over all their heads and their post-coital cigarettes. Edward is back in his cell. Outside, the guards look up in terror.
It's Aslo!
They run. The monk Silas appears. His subtitle reads, I'm gonna go Jackie Chan on your ass. Aslo's roar means, good news, I just saved a bunch of money on my car insurance. They flip towards each other in typical Ninja Matrix style. A much younger oriental looking stunt double in a wig does all the hard stuff. Silas punches him in the stomach and he slides backwards. The real Aslo smooths his blonde hair. Aslo's double pulls a handful of woolly blonde hair from Silas's head. Silas holds up a tuft of Aslo's blonde locks. 60-year-old Aslo covers his privates. Silas kicks out. The oriental stunt double falls, clutching his stomach. Silas walks away, then changes his mind. The black albino monk flies through the air, Matrix style. Middle-aged Aslo punches him between the legs. And breaks Silas's neck.
Come on, kids!
Peter pulls open the door of Edward's cell. Lucy and Susan hurry inside. Edward blinks in the light.
Peter? Lucy, Susan? Well, you guys, I've been such a prick. Won't you ever forgive me?
We already have.
We're a family now.
I like the sound of that.
Edward gets up, and they have a group hug.
I love you guys.
Oh, have your Dr. Phil moment later. Now get out of here.
The fearless four run down the frosty white corridor. Aslo's face tenses and he spins round. It's the White Bitch.
Goodbye, Aslo.
There's a blackout. Outside, with the sun shining down on the colourful tents of Aslo's camp in the forest, Edward, Lucy, Susan and Peter come past the Narnians, who this time shake their heads morosely.
What? What's wrong?
He didn't make it.
Oh, shit, a talking beaver!
Wait! Oh.
Lucy kicks the beaver against a tree.
Oh, it's hard out here for a beaver. You forgetful bitch, I already met you.
I know.
Yeah. Aslo never came back. The White Bitch killed him. Oh. And it gets worse.
He shows them the cover of the Narnian Enquirer, which reads, White Bitch launches Crystal WMD, and a photo of Aslo, dead.
It's over.
A subheading reads, Plans to Attack, Resistance at Daybreak.
The White Bitch will surely rule forever.
But we have you. You will lead us. You're the future kings and queens of Narnia. It will be an honor to fight for you, my lords.
We'll fight for you.
An archer and a woodsman nod in support.
And so will we.
Magneto.
We'll stand behind you, Peter. That bitch has threatened our mutant way of life for too long. We believe in you.
A cooking pot strikes him on the head. Peter addresses the crowd.
Tomorrow we fight. So tonight, we party!
Yeah!
Hallelujah! Are you ready for rock and roll?
Night has fallen, and in Aslo's camp, a heavy metal band with pointy elf ears are on a stage. A fawn leaps onto the stage and jigs around, giving the devil symbol. Edward and Lucy are having a drinking competition. Susan's watching them.
You're up, sis.
Uh-uh. I like to keep a clear head.
Come on, loosen up for once. I'm gonna get your swerve on. Sis.
Lucy demonstrates some dance moves for Susan's benefit. Susan is none too impressed.
Why, what's the worst that could happen?
Susan reconsiders and smiles at Edward.
Maybe just one.
All right.
An archer appears with a large funnel and a length of hose. Susan drinks. Mystique, the hot, blue-skinned mutant, wanders through the camp. She sees Peter outside his tent drinking from a bottle and saunters towards him, hips swaying.
Hi.
So, you're gonna be the king of Narnia?
That's what they say.
I think that's so hot. Why don't we get out of here?
She drags him, none too reluctantly, into the tent. Susan empties the funnel of beer and punches Edward in the chest. Something appears to be bubbling up inside Susan and rapidly coming to the surface. Lucy and Edward watch in dumb fascination. She projectile vomits over everybody. Edward grimaces. Lucy covers her mouth, but it's not over yet. Bystanders splattered in vomit smile amiably. Susan rests a hand on Lucy's shoulder to regain her balance.
I'm okay.
You're good.
Smiling, she turns to Edward. He ducks, but a young lad gets it. And the Robin Hood lookalike next to him. Lucy burps in sympathy. Susan burps, smiles cheerfully, and snogs a bystander. Edward and Lucy are like, yuck. Mystique throws Peter down on the cushioned bed in his tent. She straddles him and kisses him, then sits up, her yellow eyes flashing.
You know I've got special powers.
Uh-huh.
I'm a shape changer. I can change my form into anything. What do you like?
Big hooters with silver dollar nipples?
All right.
Her scaly breasts swell up a couple of sizes.
And a ghetto booty. I like a lot of junk in the trunk. So.
Kinky.
Her ghetto booty expands and Peter slaps it.
Badunkadunk. And a monobrow.
Come again?
Monobrow! Monobrow! King wants a monobrow!
Okay, okay.
She shrugs, and her eyebrows join in the middle.
And big, flabby grandma arms.
Oh.
Bingo wings! Like a fat, blue Britney Spears.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. Come here!
He pulls the enormous blue woman wiggling her big tongue down on top of him. The morning sun shines down on meadows of lush grass bordered by stands of trees. Susan, Peter, Lucy, and Edward climb to the top of a rock. The girls have cloaks over their short dresses. The boys wear chainmail and red tunics emblazoned with a golden lion. They look around with increasing concern.
Where is everybody?
They're completely alone.
Gee, I don't know, maybe it had something to do with Susan puking on everyone last night.
We seem to be outnumbered.
A massed army of hideous-looking bearded malcontents wave their battle axes and snarl at them from a distance. At their head, the white bitch raises her crystal wand triumphantly. Yellow and white chicken wings sprout between Peter's shoulder blades, and he runs. The white bitch chuckles, but Peter stops, and a look of manly resolve comes to his face.
No. I'm not running anymore.
He reaches behind him and pulls the wings off.
Ow.
He strides back to the others and climbs the low, flat rock.
We may not have the numbers on our side, or the weapons she possesses, but we have something far more powerful.
Perky breasts?
The strength of our family.
I can follow you anywhere, brother.
They raise their weapons. The white bitch holds out her wand. At the same time, a large wooden mill wheel trundles onto the battlefield with a figure of a man on top of it.
Revenge is mine!
Jack swallows.
The wheel rolls across the field with Jack running across the top like a hamster.
Payback is a bitch! Why? Bitch!
You owe me your soul, Jack Swallows, and it's time to pay up.
The white bitch's head has changed into a green octopus with tentacles for a beard. She sits down at an organ. Other tentacles spin a pair of turntables and slide the faders on a mixing desk. The white bitch and her army dance. So do Lucy, Susan, Peter, Edward, and Jack Swallows. The white bitch pulls off the octopus and throws it at Jack.
Oh, she's blinded me, matey!
With the octopus clinging to his face, the mill wheel swings out of control and carries Jack at high speed off the battlefield.
What a tool.
The white bitch narrows her eyes.
Show them no mercy.
Her followers charge. Peter, Susan, Edward, and Lucy leap down from their rock and charge. The white bitch's army race forward like a black tide, except for the half dozen Star Wars stormtroopers in immaculate white helmets and body armor who were amongst them. The Valiant Four charge exultantly. A warrior hurls his battle axe at Lucy. She drops like a stone. The archers fire at Susan. She drops like a pincushion. Edward is stabbed.
Take that, Kumar!
His dwarf killer thumps his chest and stomps off. Edward collapses. Peter looks round at his fallen companions, twitching and writhing. The white bitch steps forward. Peter's face contorts with rage and he charges her. She skewers him with her wand. He falls. And tries to crawl away.
Yes. Yes, that's right. Grovel. Just like your parents did before I killed them.
Peter's hands fall on a domestic remote control device. He pointed at her, and she freezes. So does everyone else on the battlefield, except a young blonde girl jogging past in shorts and a strappy t-shirt.
Wow,
Let's slow things down for a better look.
Peter presses slow motion. The girl's breasts jiggle like jellies on a trampoline.
Oh, dear.
As do the flabby man breasts of the fat man following her.
Oh, that is
A dark-haired man jogs by with a bulge in his satin shorts the size of a truncheon flapping against his thighs. Peter zaps the remote control.
Oh.
Peter wanders among the frozen figures of the white bitch's army in their black breastplates and armor, ducking to avoid their blades. And a slow smile flickers across his face. He looks back at his friends lying dead on the grass and presses a button on the remote that says, "Heal injuries." Lucy pulls the axe from her chest. Susan plucks out the arrows. Edward pulls the dagger from his stomach. All three spring to their feet as good as new, and Peter runs towards them. They stand in line.
Let's get out!
They run towards the frozen army and hack them to pieces. Susan fires an arrow. It bounces off a helmet. She shrugs and whacks a soldier with a bottle. Lucy casts a spell with her wand. Her target vanishes. Edward attacks the dwarf, hitting his shield over and over. Susan fells a soldier with a chair. Peter chops a knight's arm off and headbutts his helmet. Edward looks back at the dwarf.
Oh, I'm going to enjoy this.
He pulls on a blue and red Nacho Libre face mask and leaps on it. Lucy tries more spells. Soldiers fall like ninepins. The fearless four smile triumphantly. They look at the still frozen white bitch and the ground starts to shake.
It's the crystal.
We're all gonna die.
Give me the remote control.
Edward points it at the white bitch and presses the TiVo button. An option offering to erase the white bitch's evil plot pops up.
Yes.
No, stop. We will not stoop to her level.
I hate those fucking kids.
The new Narnia will be a democracy, complete with due process. She shall be given a fair trial, judged by a jury of her peers.
Sorry, bitch.
Jack and the mill wheel have flattened her.
Right. Oh, screw her anyway.
It's coronation time.
Make a beaver hole. Get your butt out my face. Hot, moist beaver coming through. May I present the kings and queens of Narnia. Peter the heroic. Susan the just. Edward the loyal. And Lucy the dumb shit. All hail!
The Narnians clap their hands above their heads. Chewbacca pumps his fist. Bond and his girls applaud. Mr. Tumnus appears from the woods, a bandage round his head, and punches his hands in the air. Ricky Bobby's race crew spray champagne and leap up and down. The four royals stand up. Mr. Tumnus and Harry Beaver celebrate with a French kiss.
And so it was that Peter, Susan, Edward and Lucy restored peace to Narnia. They were orphans no more. They were now a family. They ruled Narnia for many years to come. That is, until they found the wardrobe once again.
Let's cross streams.
Peter, Susan, Edward and Lucy, all wearing crowns and cloaks, and now very old, are in the snow-covered forest, peeing in the snow.
There we go. Oops, a little bit of blood.
The warm liquid has uncovered something hidden beneath the snow. Peter picks it up. It's a fur coat. They see more fur coats hanging in the trees.
Here's the wardrobe.
It's been so long.
It's been so long.
Chuck Norris rules.
Peter drops the coat and totters towards the ones in the trees. The others follow him. Lucy stoops to pick up the snow and urine-sodden coat they've left behind. She hoists it round her shoulders and follows them. Peter leads the way into the thick tangle of pine branches, and they all tumble out of the wardrobe into the spare room. They pick themselves up off the floor and find themselves back in their children's clothes.
We're young again.
Borat in his lime green body jogstrap appears.
Yegshamash, you did it. You make movie film have happy ending.
The mill wheel flattens the children.
Not.
Borat slaps his buttock. Written and directed by Jason Friedberg and Aaron Seltzer. Produced by Paul Schiff. Executive producers Arnon Milchan, Jason Friedberg and Aaron Seltzer, Rod Neil Iber. Director of photography, Sean Maurer. Production designer, William Elliott. Film editor, Peck Pryor. Costume designer, Frank Melmer. Music by Edward Shearmer. Music supervisors, Dave Jordan and Jojo Villanueva. Cal Penn as Edward. Adam Campbell as Peter. Jennifer Coolidge as the White Bitch. Jayma Mays as Lucy. Vaughn Chambers as Susan. Crispin Glover as Willie. Tony Cox as Bink, the White Bitch's dwarf. Hector Jimenez as Mr. Tumnus. Daryl Hammond as Captain Jack Swallows. Carmen Electra as Mystique. Jim Piddock as Magneto, and Fred Willard as Aslo. Casting by Amanda Coblin, Amanda Harding. A Regency Enterprises presentation. A new Regency Schiff production. A montage of outtakes. Mystique's tight, scaly bodysuit rips across her breasts. Willy Wonka gets his coat caught in the big red door.
No can do. I...
No, Captain Jack Swallows.
Having trouble bottle swinging.
Captain Jack Swallows. Swallowing. No, Captain Jack Swallows. Sorry.
Wait, can I ask you something about the sucking? Am I like sucking the chrome off, or is it?
Yeah.
I mean.
Okay. Here we go.
Oh.
Well. Guess what? Guess what?
Me. When I'm making you stop.
Peter has a blue beard after his session with Mystique. Captain Jack has trouble smashing a bottle over a sailor's head.
Why did I hit him? I hit him on the head.
Magneto.
We'll stand behind you, Peter. That bitch has threatened our way of life. Our mutant shit, sorry, bollocks.
Peter and Paris.
She shall be given a fair trial, judged by a jury of her peers. We shall build a courthouse with crushed velvet drapes and ample parking.
I'm so hot.
The yellow line. I just don't see it.
Whenever. Lie man, half lion, half man.
So you mean you're...
My mom went to a party at Siegfried and Roy's. She got drunk, and then it was her turn in the barrel. It's a brutal game.
Justice shall reign supreme.
even for elves and fauns, albinos and the Irish.
Edward sneaks up behind Lucy.
We shall revolutionize the health system. There will be no more teenage pregnancies without my consent and without their consent.
I shouldn't have had sex with Shrek.
Like it or not, we're all in...
You okay?
No, but go ahead.
Like it or not, we're all in this. Oh, I can't even do it now. Do it.
Damn that Shrek. He said he wasn't a carrier.
Because, sweet tits, we're four kids nobody would ever miss. We'll be stuck here till we dizzy rizzy.
Lucy pulls her tongue off the lamppost.
Don't tizzle me what to dizzle!
The white bitch is no more. Now we shall be queens.
Last night, I had sex with a unicorn. Nice.
Hey, look. It's Lindsay Lohan. I haven't got enough left for Roseanne.
Susan has trouble opening the cryptex. The P. Diddy fawn does some moves.
Oh, so I'll pause a four. Oh, but it's supposed to hit me, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
But I something about the others first. But first, sorry, come here. Oh, no. Kings need to boss their subjects. Shit, what's the line? Yes. Bring me the others, and I'll crown you the throne. Shit, crown you what?
Old woman Lucy farts as she dances.
I'm big. I got big balls.
See Epic Movie, or drunk Mel Gibson will hurt me. Not!
Mel Gibson's bottle is empty.
F*** you.
So now you all seen my crib. So get the hell out.
Mr. Tumnus switches off. The credits continue. Unit production manager, Andrew G. LaMarca. First assistant director, Hal Olufsen. Second assistant director, Greg Guzik. Associate producer, Hal Olufsen. The remainder of the cast were museum curator, David Carradine. Harry Potter, Kevin MacDonald. Ron, George Alvarez. Hermione, Krista Flanagan. Flight attendant, Dana Seltzer. Dumbledore, Dane Farwell. Cyclops, Tad Hilgenbrink. Wolverine, Groovy. Storm, Kashana Evans. Rogue, Lindsay Kraft. Nacho Libra, Jarab Dorplays. Chanchito, Rico Rodriguez. Borat, Pirate with Eyepatch, Danny Jacobs. Ashton Kutcher lookalike, David Lira. Samuel Jackson lookalike, James Walker Sr. Kanye West lookalike, Cordell Taylor. Paris Hilton lookalike, Ala Patru. Mel Gibson lookalike, Gregory Jabara. Singing Pirate Girl, Jill Latiano. Flavor Flav lookalike, Abe Spigner. P. Diddy Fawn, Sean McDonald. Lauren Conrad as herself. Harry Beaver, Kat M. Williams. Lead Archer, Nick Steele. Woodsman, Brennan Thomas. Aslo's Camp Band, Eagles of Death Metal. Brian O'Connor, David J. Catching, Jesse Hughes, Gene Troutman. Pirate with Heart, Kenny Yates. Pirates, Daniel Joseph, Taron Killam, Jeremy Rowley. Pirate Wenches, Kiana Chase, Gillian Grace, Masha Lund, Pollyanna Salas Uruina, Sarah Underwood. Cribs Fawns, Olivia Hart, Z. James, Ginny Jones, Britton Kelly, Ariel Vandenberg. Aslo's Girl, Heather Storm. Jogging Girl, Irina Voronina. Wardrobe Girl, Audra Lynn. James Bond, Darko Belgrade. Bond Girls, Brooklyn Freed, Michelle Misty Lang. Blacksmith, Sabby Dorr. Monk, David Watley. Prison Guard, Mike Grief. Breastbite Woman, Mary Castro. Nosebite Guy, Ron Leroy. Crotchbite Guy, Thomas Van Tassel. Morphed Mystique, Lichelle D. Ebner. Thug, Paul Zeyes. Narrator, Roscoe Lee Brown. Oompa Loompas, Ronald Lee Clark. Joe Geeb, Arturo Gill, Ricardo Gill, Michael Lee Goggin, Joseph S. Griffo, Pancho Moller, Mighty Mike Merger, Mark Povinelli, John Simonton, David Steinberg, John Tamaki, Kevin Thompson. Willie Dance Double, Tice Diorio. Curator Dance Double, Richard Stiayo Vazquez. Dancing Pirate Girls, Megan Hiratska, Samantha Lee. Breakdancing Pirates, Phil Speedy Albuquerque, Jaime Venom Burgos III, Oren Fleerock McKaylee. Dancing Soldiers, Freddie DeMiranda, Chad Smith, Michael Jackson lookalike, Anwar Burton. Music, Pick It Up by Ali Theodore, Aaron Sandlofer, Julian Davis and Joseph Katsaros, performed by LP featuring Jose Fuego. Firefight by Jonathan Highlander, Raymond Garola, Sean Johnson and Joseph Highlander, performed by EK UK. Lucas Granada, written and performed by Juan Martin. Calamity Jane, written and performed by James Griffith and Mark Lauren Matthews. Rosado March and Rodeo Spanish March by Ali Theodore, Vincent Alfieri and Joseph Katsaros, performed by Rojas Rosado. Wig Pops, written and performed by Ray Flowers, Jez Poole and Craig Joyner. Bring Forth Your Booty by Story, Gildan, Destouche and Destouche, performed by Sui and La Resistance, featuring the Ragga Twins. Fight Song, written and performed by Bruce Chianese and Jeff Levin. Eye of the Tiger by James Petterick and Frank Sullivan, performed by Survivor. Promiscuous by Timothy Clayton, Nelly Kim Furtado, Nathaniel Floyd Hills and Timothy Mosley, performed by Nelly Furtado featuring Timbaland. Be More Robotic by Jonathan Highlander, Raymond Garola, Sean Johnson and Joseph Highlander, performed by EK UK. Virgilicious by William Adams, Derek Raming, Juana Burns, Stacey Ferguson, Daniel Bricks, Juanita Lee, Fatima Shahid and Kim Nazelle, performed by Fergie featuring Will I Am. Contains a sample of Give It All You Got, performed by Afro Rican. Lazy Pirate Day by Ali Theodore, Zach Danziger, Julian Davis and Alana De Fonseca, performed by Zach Danziger, Ali D and Chris Davis. My Block by Ali Theodore, Julian Davis and Zach Danziger, performed by Cham Payne. Don't Speak, I Came to Make a Bang by Jesse Everett Hughes and Josh Homme, performed by Eagles of Death Metal. The Whole World by David Hilker, John Costello III, Marcus Latif Scott and Mark Ferrari, performed by Marcus Latif Scott. Funeral March, composed by Nigel Ogden. Art of War by Ali Theodore, Julian Davis, Vincent Alfieri and Aaron Sandlofer, performed by SWG featuring Sizzle C. Ms. New Booty by Michael Crooms, D'Angelo Holmes, Eric Jackson and Warren Mathis, performed by Bubba Sparks. For Show by Darren Milton Sr., Jamie Dunlap and Scott Nicoli, performed by D-Note. Kung Fu Fighting, written and performed by Carl Douglas. Throw Your Cash Up by Ali Theodore, Zach Danziger, Vincent Alfieri and Julian Davis, performed by SWJ featuring Sizzle C. Let's Get Dirty by Sharon March and Tamika Wilson, performed by Tika Rain. Question Everything by Mike Hornack, Adam Anderson, Jeff Zazueta, Jimmy Reese, and Colin Torres, performed by Stigma. He's Willy by Ali Theodore and Zach Danziger, performed by Lee Town. Waiting for a Girl Like You by Louis Grammatico and Michael Jones, performed by Foreigner. Bounce Dadaz, written and performed by Dorian Childs. Copyright by Regency Entertainment Inc. in the US and by Monarchy Enterprises in the rest of the world. All rights reserved. IMS audio description written by Stephen Dobbin and Veronica Hicks. Read by Michael Woodford.